You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, Dr. Ron and Linda, still in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, live from the coast.
Weather's great. Food is great. Gotta go home soon.
Darn. Hey, listen, I want to start out because, you know, the voting thing is all over the map right now on the news. Everybody's talking about the voter ID legislation and everything's behind that. And I thought, since you and I have, you know, lived here part-time on and off in Mexico for the past 15 years, we could compare and contrast how Mexicans vote and how legislation is set up for voters in Mexico in comparison to los Estados Unidos.
We'll do it. So in order to vote in Mexico, every eligible Mexican citizen has to have a tamper-proof photo ID card.
A biometric photo ID card.
With a thumbprint and an embossed hologram. That's every voter.
Well, it goes far beyond that because Mexicans really care about their voting rights and their legislature supports that, right? Because you want to have fair elections. So beyond that, the application process to get a voter ID card in Mexico, which is a permanent voter ID card, that's why it's plasticized, it's embossed, it's biometric, is that when you apply, you have to bring proof of citizenship and birthright. In other words, you must bring a birth certificate with you.
Or proof of citizenship.
That is either a passport, mm-hmm. right? A Mexican identification card that proves citizenship. But either way that you do it, in order to get any type of identification card in Mexico, you must prove citizenship and provide the birth certificate.
Right. And then you have to personally return to collect your voting credential, not somebody going for you, not dropping it in a drop box,
not mailing it in.
Right. You have to personally go. So, you know, the question then is, why can't we upgrade to Mexico's system in the United States? We are not being unfair in the United States. In fact, we're being overly fair to the point that we have just horrendous fraud in the United States.
Well, but you know, Linda, the big picture, the 30,000 foot picture, as I like to say from time to time, when you take a look at the surge, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens crossing our borders from Central America mm-hmm. through Mexico and also Mexicans, you know, coming across our border completely unvetted, just basically given actually far more benefits than American citizens are getting without any question whatsoever, you know, in order to get back to the States. Yesterday was a great example. In order to get back to the States from our trip in Mexico, we have to get a COVID test.
Which is required by the United States for us to get back in the country.
Yeah, and they've got a really cool system here in Mexico. One of the things that we like, I mean, you can get the COVID test at the airport, which is really cool. You can get it at various pharmacies, any place that's certified and approved to give COVID tests, which is, you know, the United States does a pretty cool thing, but here's where Mexico goes beyond. We actually made an appointment through a friend of ours to have someone come over to where we live and personally give us our COVID tests.
Right. And so many people in the lobby saw that person giving us our tests and they said, oh my gosh, you know, we want to hire you too. It's very, very convenient. And you know, this is Mexico. This is a second world country. It is not the United States, a first world country. Why can't we be that organized in the United States? And I want to go back, Ron, to the voting issue. The big thing that you hear from people in the United States, from the libs, is that we are discriminating against low-income people about this whole voter ID issue. You haven't seen low-income people till you've been in Mexico. These people have very low incomes, and yet they manage to do this. They manage to get their voter ID. They manage to vote, and they do just fine with it. So when we have this big list that you've seen out on the internet about the 100 companies that have, you know, complained about our voting protocols in the United States, and that we are discriminated against people, and we want more liberal voting laws, that's not what's going to help us. That's absolutely wrong. And I would suggest that people take a look at that list and look at the companies on it, and don't buy from them. Buy from somebody else that does the same thing, because to have our voting laws be, just made so free for anybody, we have such fraud that's happening from it. Why can't we tighten these laws up? We're not discriminating against anybody. If people in Mexico can go get this type of a voter ID, a biometric voter ID, like you say, so can we in the United States.
Well, you know, and I have to apologize for a second, because I kind of went off on a tangent and we got into COVID for a minute. But again, the 30,000 foot look is, if you take a look at the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that the Biden administration has allowed into this country, and by the way, previous administrations, I think we probably, when everything is said and done, we'll probably have about 30 million illegal aliens, people that overstayed their visas and stuff like that in the United States. And under this new far left wing progressive Biden-Harris administration, the borders are basically open. The design behind that, in concert with H.R. 1, and I hope our friends and followers and our listeners really look at H.R. 1. I mean, this is such a huge threat to our Democratic Republic in the United States. You can connect the dots. Okay, so they are deliberately, the Democrats are deliberately trying to dumb down the voting laws so that basically anybody can vote, legal, illegal. They're going to be granting amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. And that isn't even talking about they've removed the voter sanctions in many states to convicted felons. If everybody remembers, convicted felons are not allowed to vote in elections. So now state by state, they're clearing that so felons can vote. All of these people, here's the bottom line. All of these people are going to vote Democratic, and the United States will never be the United States of America again. Plus, we will never have a true democratic government. We will have a socialist Marxist government.
We had so much fraud in the last election to the point where I personally don't believe that Joe Biden won the election by any stretch.
Nor do I.
But what they have found also, besides the voter ID issue, which I absolutely believe we're going in the wrong direction on. Okay, I believe that we're going completely loony on this issue. We need to be tightening up the voter registration, tightening up that we know who is submitting that ballot. And, you know, it's a right to vote. It's people's right to vote. They can choose to exercise that right or not. It is not up to the government to make it so that people can fraudulently vote, so that we have illegals voting, dead people voting numerous times. That is not their job. Their job is to make sure that we have free and fair elections, that we can count on the results. Now, with the voting machines that we've talked about.
Absolutely, get into that.
All of the claims about the Dominion voting machines were really disregarded and poo-pooed by the courts, and they didn't look at it. But somebody had the smarts to subpoena those voting machines, the Dominion machines out of Michigan, and take a look at them and do a forensic analysis on them. And what they found was indeed that chips had been installed in those machines that allowed them to go onto the internet. They are not in the machines as bought from Dominion. They were installed in the machines and
afterwards.
Found these in the machines. So don't tell us that there was no fraud in the election when the proof is there.
And I think everybody needs to understand that this is just not Dr. Ron and Linda talking crazy conspiracy stuff. One of the best protectors of the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights is a wonderful organization that we belong to and we donate money to, and it's called Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch. And you all should take a look at Judicial Watch, get up on their site and take a look at the litigation that they have been doing for years and years to keep America free and to protect the rights of all Americans. Judicial Watch was the organization and is the organization that files lawsuits in the federal court. And they have filed against the government, against our own government, and against various organizations that try to stifle our constitutional rights. And they do a wonderful job. This isn't some sort of far right wing, you know, group out there. This is a group of the people, by the people, and it survives on donations. And these are the people that filed the lawsuits against Dominion and which got subpoenas, their motions brought about subpoenas so that we could get into these machines, inspect, examine these machines, which Dominion definitely didn't want to do in the United States. You know, these lawsuits should be coming from the United States government. These lawsuits and these subpoenas and these motions should be coming from the United States Department of Justice. And you notice that they're not.
No, they're not. They're not interested in knowing the truth because they got what they set out to get, which was the office of the presidency. In Michigan, the election officials also have been ordered to turn over all of their communications with tech giants. So, and another thing in Michigan as well is that the person who changed the voting laws under the auspices of it being, you know,
well, the governor,
COVID,
the governor,
they have been chastised and said that was not legal to do. That being said, nothing's still being done about it. But it's not just in Michigan. It's in the six states that we, you know, had issues with. And it's like pulling teeth to get information on all this because, of course, it's being hidden as best as possible.
And, you know, that's important that the people understand that the mainstream media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the NBCs, and the big tech trio, right? And I think there's more, but, you know, it's Twitter, it's Facebook, it's Google, you know, groups like that. The big tech giants, they are keeping all of this information away from the American public. And I think that's just absolutely disgraceful.
Well, it is. You have to really kind of dig to find the information. And there are people working on this, but, you know, this should have been done at the time of the election. It should have been taken seriously and looked at, although some of these things have taken a lot of time because they've been being obstructed when they serve subpoenas and they ask for certain records and documents. They are being obstructed by the person receiving that subpoena saying it's overly broad and, you know, it's
intrusive.
Yes.
And as a guy that looks at motions for a living, that's just template language.
Exactly.
Okay? I mean,
exactly.
I can't tell you how many motions I look at and, you know, their subpoena deuces takems. And in other words, you know, people are trying to get discovery evidence and things like that. They're called actually RPDs, or request for production of documents. And so that is classically when you are the defendant in a case and the plaintiff, which would be Judicial Watch, you know, sends you, you know, sends you a request for production of documents in a federal lawsuit, that's just templated language where the defense comes in. I mean, it's actually a paragraph that's repeated again and again.
Well, what it means is we don't want to give it to you. That's all it means. Yeah.
Thanks for breaking that down.
It's pretty simple stuff. But we have a real struggle in this country going on with this voting issue to see if, you know, we go the way that they did during this last election, where, you know, it was basically a free for all. And you had more votes in counties than you had registered voters. I mean, how can people not see that that would be a problem?
And, you know, don't forget, many people don't know this. So Judicial Watch, our heroes here, and the people that I've said we contribute to, and you should too, they are the ones that filed lawsuits in the state of California, and specifically in Los Angeles County, on the voter rolls, and got Los Angeles County to admit that over 1 million votes were invalid votes. Okay, dead people, people that were had been on the voting rolls for years. Nobody knew where they were. They'd moved around. They'd moved away. They died. You know, all sorts of different things happened, and got forced through the law, forced the county of Los Angeles to clear their voting rolls.
Well, and people need to understand that in every state there are laws that say that you have to clean those voting rolls every so many years, that you have to remove the people that are dead, that have moved, and those types of things. Los Angeles had not cleared theirs for double digit numbers of years. I don't remember the exact number. And so many other states are in the same position. And it's interesting that the states fight doing this. They have to be sued to do what is on their own books that they're supposed to do.
And that's why when you see these news articles every once in a while, and they do the polls, and they actually find out post-voting that more people voted than actually exist. Okay. That's, you know, and then sometimes the numbers are huge amounts of numbers, tens of thousands of people. Well, listen, let's take a break and get our first cup of Mexican coffee.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true-life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice, and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Wade Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's WADEJUSTUS.com. Get your copies today. We're coming back with our first cup of coffee, and we're sitting out on the balcony, and we're looking out over a glorious sunset and beautiful Bay of Banderas here in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And we feel so blessed to be here for 1 week of R&R. But you know what, Linda, we touched before we got some coffee, we touched upon the fact about the big tech companies and the news media, the mainstream news media, all sort of being in cahoots and trying to, you know, get Joe Biden elected. And then also the stifling of our First Amendment civil rights vis-a-vis Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all the other social media.
Cancel culture.
Cancel culture. Sure. So I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Well, sure. You had Project Veritas, which has done some wonderful work. It's amazing what they actually get done.
They're some poop disturbers.
Yeah, you know? They sure are. And when it comes out, I mean, everybody's suing them over the information they get, but boy.
But you can't argue with it because it's all on video. It's all on audio and video because they surreptitiously video the people that they're doing interviews with. And a lot of these interviews are just basically discussions, right?
Yeah. Well, Project Veritas relaunched its expose on CNN this last recent time, and they were sharing footage of the CNN technical director. His name is Charles Chester, and he absolutely went to town revealing the liberal network's dirty laundry all over the place.
And I'm not sure he has a job right now.
I'm not sure either.
He's probably in hiding.
He says that CNN's focus during the 2020 campaign was to get rid of President Trump. His words, get rid of President Trump.
And he's sort of a high mucky muck in the CNN organization, works on news production, you know, things like that. So he's no flunky. He's no light boy, okay?
No, the additional things that he said, it's just, it's shocking, but it's not.
But we knew this all along. Sure. It was just a verification of that.
Their other goals were to hype the coronavirus coverage, to hype the death tolls on coronavirus, to keep people jacked up about this for big ratings, and that it also aimed to help Black Lives Matter. That is your news, America. That is your news media that wants to swing an election, that wants to help a terrorist group.
Yeah, a militant Marxist Black Lives Matter group. Right?
And they want to have you sit in fear over COVID. I mean, this is your media. This is not right. This is not reporting the news. This is, you know, enhancing and making news.
You know, what I found was so disgusting. And, you know, those of us that have friends and family members that have died from the COVID pandemic or gotten real sick. And of course, the whole world has been extremely turned upside down and inconvenienced. Businesses, tens of thousands of businesses in the United States, millions throughout the world have been lost directly as a result of the pandemic. Our kids can't go to school. You know, all of the stuff that's happening. This producer actually said that, you know, I almost feel guilty, but every time the death toll rose, I got excited. Let me tell you something. Anybody that has a mindset like that is one sick SOB. And any organization that would have that mindset and would have that strategy to change the paradigm of how we feel about our president of the United States, Donald Trump, or how we look at our culture and our society in the United States of America, that's not an organization that you want to trust in.
Well, absolutely not. And here it comes from the horse's mouth that they were manipulating people in every which way they could. And this was their complete focus, as was to get Trump out of office.
But let's go back to the big news here. And I mean, I'm saying it's big news, but it's news that all of us, or at least many of us have experienced, certainly you and me, about the cancel culture. And so when all of this comes out and it's so embarrassing for CNN, by the way, CNN does not respond to requests for comment. Twitter, which is one of the three big tech companies, basically takes down Project Veritas's tweet platform, takes it down. So the guys that are doing Project Veritas cannot, and of course they have millions and millions of followers, right? They can't even tweet out what's going on and tweet little bits and pieces of their videos of these guys actually saying it.
No, and Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, has filed a lawsuit against Twitter about this. This is censorship. What is happening is they are leaving the vitriolic left with their fake news, like CNN, up there on Twitter, and they're taking down the people that figure out that CNN is doing something unethical by their own words, by their very own words. Yet Twitter is protecting CNN. And, you know, to that end, my show, Ron, Ladies of Liberty, Sound Off, which plays right here on America Out Loud each weekday. We did a show with people that are, you know, intelligent women, and the show had to do with Marxism, you know, coming towards America. And Twitter would not allow the little ad that we put out for our shows every day on Twitter, they would not allow that. They said that it had graphic content. Well, actually, you could click on the show after you read that it was, you know, warning.
But it's trying to scare you off.
Right. And say that there's some problem with our show. There is no problem with our show. We're just simply speaking the truth. And the people that were on that show were people that are on the board of directors of the David Horowitz Foundation, people that are in the know about what's happening in America, and people that want to warn Americans and have them pay attention to what's going on in our country. If people have not seen right now at this moment in history what lunacy is happening from the White House, you know, they're living in some sort of a bubble that I can't help them with. But we need to talk about it because people need to understand what's happening to their country.
You know, and you got a great show on Ladies of Liberty. Anytime you can get me to listen to a lady show, and a lot of guys listen to your show, Linda, I think it's a great show. I think you do a great job producing it. But anytime you can get me to listen to a show like that, believe me, there's important information for us. And by the way, the David Horowitz Foundation has been around for decades, and it is not some sort of offbeat right-wing conspiracy, alt-right, well, you know, whatever the progressive left would say. You have common sense conservatives in there. You know, it is a conservative platform. And they do a lot of good work in advancing the freedoms of American citizens. But, you know, let's also, when we talk about this cancel culture, let's talk about what they did to us on Talking While Married.
Sure.
Because recently we produced a show down here in Mexico, it was a live show on, you know, what's going on down in Mexico. We talked about COVID. We talked about beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and all the fun things to do and places to eat and things to see. But we also talked about the rise of Marxism and neo-national socialism in the United States. When we shipped off that, you know, when we do that show in its, you know, in its production, and when you guys get to see the show on our social media platforms, there's a title to it and there's always a picture to it. And I posted it out. Our producer for the show put in the title Marxism. And as soon as the Facebook wokies saw that the title was Marxism's Strategy in America, they basically closed the show to people. So they took it off the social media platform on Facebook. And what they said was that this show has been removed because it does not meet Facebook community standards. Now, here's what's important to know. We put the show out before it went live. In other words, we put the notices that what we call in a radio business, we call teasers. And we put the teasers out on all of our social media before the show was even set to air live. And immediately, 2 hours before the show was supposed to go, I was getting hit backs by my Facebook followers saying, Dr. Ron, Facebook is removing your show from our platform because they say it doesn't meet community standards. What the heck is that all about when you don't even hear the content of the show and you already cancel the show. That's what we're talking about. That's how dangerous this is, Linda.
Well, it is. And, you know, unfortunately, with the legislature in Washington that we have now, both in the House and Senate, we're not going to get anything done on that
230.
We're not going to, because, you know, they're just not going to do it. It's all in their favor. But the fact is that you have social media now determining what you're going to be able to see and what you're not going to be able to see, even down to the point of talking while married. And that's just, it's not right. This is not free and fair speech. It's not our First Amendment in this country anymore. They are determining what people see and don't see.
But you know, at the same time, if you go over to, you know, let's talk about Twitter, let's talk about the Squad, let's talk about AOC, let's talk about Tlaib, let's talk about Omar. They can go on their tweets and accuse the law enforcement as being murderers, right?
Yes.
Murderers of Black people. They can espouse revolutionary rhetoric, militant revolutionary rhetoric. You can go on to Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is not stifled at all. They can, you know, call officers pigs and call them murderers and talk about systemic racism and genocide in the law enforcement community. And they don't get a bit of censorship, but a radio program for common sense conservatives that never spouts any lies. Our information is vetted and is relatively tame, for God's sakes. They can take that show down even before that show's airs and allege that the reason they take it down is because it violates community standards when they don't even know what the show is all about.
Exactly. And here's the thing is that people don't know what they don't know. They don't know what is being taken down before they get a chance to see it. So they don't even know that things are being taken down unless you are the person like Project Veritas, unless you are they and they know that they took their site down, unless you are Dr. Ron and Linda who saw the takedown on our show in both instances, once from Twitter, once from Facebook. You know, it's pretty shocking what they consider to be speech that they will censor. It just is shocking. It's against our First Amendment rights. Somebody in our government has to do something about it. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen under this legislature.
Well, that's exactly correct, or under this administration. These people, meaning the big tech companies and the media, the mainstream media on the left side, they hide behind the 230. Okay,
yes.
So the big tech companies, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Google, the YouTube, they all hide behind 230. Where they get sort of like a qualified immunity, so you can't sue them. But look at all the horrible things that they do. You know, I think I mentioned a while back, and I'm a member of LinkedIn. You can catch Dr. Ron on LinkedIn. I'm there under Ron Martinelli. And, you know, like last year, I had something like 7,900 followers on LinkedIn. And then one day, all of a sudden, all my followers were gone. They were just completely erased. And I tried to work with LinkedIn. What happened here? What happened here? They said, geez, we don't know. All of a sudden, all your followers disappeared. And I was just as angry as you could be because I post on over 40 different groups, law enforcement and forensic groups on LinkedIn. And all of a sudden that was all gone. And I had to start all over. First of all, I had to make a decision whether I wanted to stay on LinkedIn or not. And I decided, okay, I'll stay. But do you realize after, I think I was on LinkedIn for 7 or 9 years, getting 79 followers and all of a sudden going from 79 followers to nothing. America Out Loud used to be on Facebook. And I was talking with our network producer just the other day and telling him what happened to the, you know, to Talking While Married show. And he says, you know, we had a huge following on Facebook. We had over 85,000 people that followed America Out Loud on Facebook. And one day they just took us down and they were gone. And so you won't find America Out Loud on Facebook anymore. But, you know, talking about our show that they took down, Linda, the recent show we did here from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Don't forget that America Out Loud is also a 24/7 platform. So it doesn't mean that that show doesn't exist. Just get up into America Out Loud and look at, you know, the talkers, Dr. Ron and Linda, and pull that show down because it was a fascinating show. I personally think it was one of our best live shows ever.
Yeah, well, they, like I said, they didn't take the show down. They took our advertising for the show down so that people, you know, wouldn't know about it. And again, the censorship that's being done by these big organizations is, it's just dangerous because we don't have a free back and forth on ideas in this country anymore. They're focusing on one idea, which actually, interestingly enough, is what the Nazis did.
Well, you know, and let's talk about that for a second, because just a little more time before I get you another cup of coffee. But don't forget, under the Nazi regime, the neo-national, that was the National Socialist Workers Party under Adolf Hitler, their propaganda minister was Joseph Goebbels. And starting from the 30s, from 1933, when Adolf Hitler took power, all the way up through the end of World War II, the propaganda minister and the Hitler and the Nazi regime removed all of the newspapers, all of the media, what they would call social media in those days were newspapers and radio. All of those stations were taken off the air and you only had one station, and that was the Nazi regime station under Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister. And so when you hear people, a producer from CNN, calling what CNN puts out as propaganda, that ought to ring a bell to you as to what happened during the Nazi regime. And also during all of the Marxist regimes, they've done all the same thing. You only get information from one source, North Korea, one source, China, one source.
You know, and I consider Facebook, Twitter, any of, and actually if include anything that Google has to do with, and Amazon, all of those people are sending one message to America. It's the same propaganda. They are blocking the conservative thought.
And you know, I'll just leave it at this because you raised a good point. In the United States, we have several different types of social media, right? So we've got the big tech companies, that's social media. And then we've got the news organizations, mm-hmm. That's public media and cable media. But when they all join together conspiratorially, they become no different than Adolf Hitler's Joseph Goebbels with one message. It's that whole one world, one order, one message.
Which should scare the socks off of everybody.
How about that second cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
You know, another scary thing that's happening, which I knew would happen, and I think we all knew, is that the Dems are seriously going ahead with looking at stacking the Supreme Court. And, you know, in I think it's 234 years of having our Supreme Court at nine justices, which has worked fine I'm not sure the number of years, so I'll say that right out. We now decide that it's not working. And why is it not working? It's not working because the court has a 6-3 conservative majority. Interestingly, though, in the rulings that have happened of late, I thought that they were actually more on the other side than on the conservative side. So I think that the justices that are there have been very fair, but they want to stack it and add 4 more justices so that they can have, you know, either a majority. Yes, a majority. They'd have a majority of 1 there. So that's what they want to do. And this just is moving so rapidly and so fast. People in America can't wrap their heads around this. When things move this fast in the country, it's just they're cramming in as many things as they can to make sure that they remain in power forever. And that's what's going on. Now, I will say about that, and I want to hear your opinion, that I think that this is, and I'm hoping it's true, going to be hard to accomplish just based on that they have to have 60 votes in the Senate to do this. They're not going to get 60 votes to do this. They can't use reconciliation because it's not a budget issue. So I'm not sure. I'm sure that they have a plan to get it done. I'm not sure what it is at this point in time, but I'm hoping that our government works as it's supposed to work, and this is blocked.
Well, I think people, and you raised a good point, I think people have to keep in mind how chaotic everything is right now. And they are using 2 things. They are deliberately creating a crisis at the border, which creates a chaotic event. Now you've got the officer involved shootings. You've got the Derek Chauvin case, which is, George Floyd case. You've got the new case with the female officer up in Minneapolis. You've got this new case that popped out in Chicago that maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk about, Adam Toledo. You got a lot of stuff. You got a lot of chaos going on, and they are hoping to create a whirlwind of chaos and crisis so that the good American people just can't wrap their arms around all of it, and they tune out because the news is so terrible. Really, I mean, you don't even want to watch the news.
No, the news is absolutely the worst.
But let me provide just a little bit of historic perspective here on this whole issue of stacking the Supreme Court. Let's go back to 2016 with the nomination then of Judge Merrick Garland. And if you remember, the legislators and also including, Biden, then Vice President Biden, and you get these senators like Ed Markley, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and others, and Schumer and Pelosi, they were all in it, and they put together a package, an informational package, and a campaign called We Need 9. Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
We Need 9. And so they were all saying, man, because of Merrick Garland, they wanted to get him confirmed under the Obama administration, Obama, Biden, we need nine. They've all gone sideways now. And remember that Joe Biden during the campaign was asked many times if he would be in favor of stacking the Supreme Court, and he would never answer that question. Well, we knew why he wouldn't answer the question, because we knew if he had the opportunity of getting elected, then they would go to stack the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So that, yes. And that was a red flag that people should have paid attention to. So I always wonder, Ron, it's just something I think about almost daily, is this really what these people who voted for Joe Biden were looking for? To have all these people running over our border, to have their guns taken away, to have their elections become free-for-alls for anybody, to have all of this trillions of dollars of money spent basically on welfare type things, and to have the Supreme Court stacked? Is that what people voted for?
I don't think they did vote for that. And I think they've got, a lot of people already have got buyer's remorse. But, let me also say this. There are scary things that happen every once in a while. People skate. Joe Biden says something that's a scary thing when he has a lucid moment. But let me tell you what the most recent scary thing that came out of Joe Biden's mouth was just very recently. And he said, and this, by the way, this was a Second Amendment issue. They asked him specifically about the Second Amendment and saying, hey, look, it's the Second Amendment, second, right after the First Amendment, which is freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, for a reason. For a reason, because nobody has taken over a communist, in a Marxist communist government, has taken over when you have an armed society, right? That's why that Second Amendment is there. He said no constitutional amendment, or meaning the Bill of Rights, is absolute. Right. No amendment is absolute. When you get the leader of the free world telling you that our Bill of Rights, nothing in our Bill of Rights, literally nothing in our Bill of Rights, is absolute and guaranteed as a freedom, y'all ought to be very, very scared of that. And that's the whole issue with stacking the Supreme Court. They can stack that Supreme Court and they can basically remove our Bill of Rights without vote.
So here's what's happening, in my opinion. You have a few, not a ton, but a few, so let's not go overboard, mass shootings that have happened recently. And in those mass shootings, they are using that to take away our Second Amendment rights. They're saying, oh no, we have to take the guns away. But that is, that's the purpose of doing that. Does anybody, of course, nobody remembers it, but you watch TV, the Wild Wild West. I mean, talk about shootings, right? That was the Wild Wild West. And we have those guns to protect ourselves. And if you take them away from people, then nobody will have them to protect themselves, but the bad guys will sure have them. And, you know, down here in Mexico, people are not allowed to own guns, but the bad guys sure have them. And it would be the same way in the United States.
And the good guys are afraid of the bad guys.
Well, absolutely they are. So, you know, you have some states that are taking action. Texas, for one, has Governor Abbott has put forth that you don't even have to have a concealed carry permit anymore.
And several states are just like that.
Yes.
And what we find, and this is not Dr. Ron Linda talking, I'll speak as a forensic criminologist and Second Amendment advocate, and I will tell you that in every society in America, every state in America, every city in America that has the least restrictive gun laws, you have the least amount of gun crime. Then the most restrictive cities and states, generally, you have the most gun crime. The perfect example, very succinctly, city of Chicago.
Yes.
And the city of, or the District of Washington, D.C.
But I wanted to say, which I lost my train of thought there, was, you know, what they are doing in from the White House and the Senate and the Congress right now to our country is making our country extremely agitated and fearful. And you are going to see more of these types of cases because people have no outlet for this. They're ticking time bombs. They're going to explode at what's happening. They don't know what to do. Everybody feels pretty hopeless right now. They're watching their country completely fall apart under this administration, and they don't know what to do. So those people that are already on the edge, that have mental health issues, that have anger issues, whatever it is, they're going to explode. Expect more of this. This is not about the guns. And I read something on Facebook earlier, which just really hit home to me. It said, if it's a gun that kills people, then the fork makes you fat. And there was another one in there.
Well,
about
they used cars. They used a lot of analogies.
And then the car drives drunk. You know, no, it's not the car that drives drunk. It's not the gun that kills people. And it's not the fork that makes you fat. It's people.
Well, Linda, I hope you'll read more of Dr. Ron's forensic articles on the psychology of violence. But listen, I have said time and time again that is, these are behavioral issues. I hope you get up onto the platform, read a couple of my articles on ticking time bombs. get on to drronmartinelli.com, drronmartinelli.com, and read some of the forensic articles that I write about taking time bombs and some of my news interviews on One America News. So this is what's going on with our government, creating chaos, locking people down for, you know, over a year with COVID. You listen to that, medical bureaucrat, Dr. Fauci, saying that, he won't even tell, he won't even disclose to us when we can stop being locked down. You can only do this with the American public for so long. And by the way, you know, just as an aside, in Texas, where we're from, we're completely open. We're completely open. And we have far less cases of COVID than does, and the same thing with the state of Florida, than does the states of California and New York.
And Michigan.
I mean, come on, need we say more?
Yeah, I'm not sure why Michigan is blowing up with COVID, but interesting that the government will not send them more vaccines under their dire circumstances.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think the riots have a lot to do with it. I really do. Where you get, you know, mass groups of people and you know, things like that. But anyway, a couple of thoughts in that area. So, you know, I wanted to talk for just a couple of minutes, Linda, about this officer-involved shooting of Adam Toledo that's in the city of Chicago, and just mention this. You're starting to see AOC and Tlaib and people saying that officers, this is just proves that officers are murdering, you know, indiscriminately murdering Black people. Now we're, you know, police officers are murdering children. And they brought up this video really quickly that shows that Adam Toledo, with his hands up just a split second before he was shot. And all I want to say is here, just reserve judgment until all the forensics come out here, because the gun was found right near this kid. There is no doubt that the kid had the gun. The other kid, which was an adult, a 21-year-old gang member, just like Toledo was a gang member. By the way, he was on probation at the time for possession of a gun. They were shooting this gun. The adult gave the gun to Toledo. The police saw it. They came in response to the gunfire. They got in a foot pursuit with the adult and with Adam Toledo. Those kids separated. One officer arrested the adult. The other officer chased Adam Toledo until he got to like a fence, and Adam Toledo was going to try to make it over the fence. He had the gun in his hand. The officer yelled at him, drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun. The officer reports that Adam Toledo turned around towards the, because he'd been facing the fence, turned around with the gun in his hand, and the officer fired. This is going, I'm just going to, you know, tell you this. This case is like many, many of the cases that I investigate. It's called a human factors case, referred to as action, reaction, perception, lag time, where action is always faster than reaction.
Exactly. And I think that we need to let the facts come out. And I'm sure that this will then be litigated. And of course it will, because you have people being charged and you're going to have people suing officers, I'm sure. And you're going to find out that things are not always as you think that they are.
That's exactly right. Don't forget, I'll keep it very succinct for the layman here. Don't forget that action is always faster than reaction. And the brain has to observe, orient, act, decide, and act.
And when you have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez coming out on social media and saying that the prosecutor is a liar and that this poor child was unarmed and we're shooting unarmed children in this country, that is incendiary. You know, you want to impeach Trump for causing a riot? This is what causes a riot.
No,
it's somebody like Ocasio-Cortez and what she says, and she doesn't know what she's talking about.
No, it's this incendiary rhetoric from people that are, you know, uninformed, and they're just
trying to. It's going to cause people to die.
Oh, no, it will.
Her
it
conversation
will.
Is going to cause people
it will. So
to
just,
die.
So just don't forget, the mind and the body do not act as fast as a person acting. You have to observe, you have to orient, you have to decide, and you have to act, where the other person just has to do one thing. I'll just say this really quickly to put it in perspective. The blink of an eye takes between 300 and 400ths of a second, 3 to 4 hundredths of a second. Sometimes you can do it in 2 hundredths of a second, but normally about 3 to 4 hundredths of a second. However, all of our studies, and I've done the research on this myself with other researchers, a person can turn 180 degrees and point a gun and fire in 25 hundredths of a second. Okay, 25 hundredths of a second, turn 180 degrees around with a gun in her hands, fire and hit an officer. Think about what that is. That's literally the blink of an eye.
Well, just one more comment. We had sad news earlier in the week, and that was that Prince Philip has passed.
Yeah, and I wanted to make a couple of comments. And, you know, talking while married, I know we get into a lot of politics and everything like that, but we do talk a lot about relationships on this show and how important relationships are. And so I wanted to bring out just, you know, historically that Prince Philip first met Queen Elizabeth at the time. She wasn't yet a queen when she was 13 and he was 18. Okay, they got married several years later, and after World War II in 1947. And Prince Philip was a member of an officer in the Royal Navy, and they would send love letters, back and forth. I thought Queen Elizabeth acted as a driver during World War II. She was like in the women's like Army Corps, and she did her service in the military as well. And they sent love letters back and forth. And then they got married in 1947. They stayed together for 73 years. And Queen Elizabeth has always described Prince Philip, who was also the Duke of Edinburgh, as her stalwart supporter and companion. And Prince Philip, I think in 1990, they were doing a biography of him, and they asked him about the relationship and why do you think this relationship has worked so well for all these years, all these generations, these decades. And he said two things. And he said it was respect and space.
Yeah. Well, that that works, but respect, I think, is the biggest one. And there's just sometimes with couples, there's boundaries that you don't cross that can't be uncrossed. And that is what they did. They had respect for one another. And he gave her space and she gave him his space. And I mean, a wonderful love story. And, you know, we're sad to lose him. He said he didn't want to live till 100. He died just before he was 100.
From people that really knew Prince Philip, the people that worked with him very closely, they said that two of his greatest characteristics was he was an icebreaker, and he had a great sense of humor, and he always made people feel very comfortable and relaxed around the queen, because just by being a queen, people are a little stressed out, a little intimidated, in front of the queen. And he was very, very cool. He promoted British industry, science, environmental causes. Apparently he was one hell of a guy and not at all caught up with himself. So, God bless him. Rest in peace.